Well, this year, AirVenture celebrates a number of milestones in aviation history, including 100 years of naval aviation. Well, I've got a great program lined up for Wednesday night. The Centennial of Women in Aviation, that'll be a program on Thursday night, and 100 years of airmail service. And to help walk us through the past century of airmail and the development of the airmail program, we'd like to welcome back to our stage Mr. Ron Alexander. Ron.
Thank you very much. I hope you're enjoying AirVenture and this beautiful weather that we're having currently. Sure has been nice the last few days. As Steve mentioned, we're here this evening to celebrate the 100th anniversary of airmail flight. We have a great presentation for you. We're going to actually interview an airmail pilot in just a few minutes. But before we do that, let's set the stage for the 100th anniversary. The first flight was actually flown by a volunteer pilot named Earl Ovington. And Earl had a Blériot, and he flew the very first flight a long distance of almost 6 miles from Garden City, New York, which is on Long Island, to Mineola, New York. This happened on September 23rd in 1911. Now, there's a picture that we'll show you in just a second here of the entire group just prior to Earl leaving, and you can see they're handing him this bag of mail. So he stuffs it in with him in the Blériot, and for those of you who are interested in the vintage section right now, there is a replica that the EAA has rebuilt or has actually constructed of this particular Blériot. You'll find it very interesting if you get a chance to go see that display tomorrow. It's a great display. But anyhow, Earl stuffed this bag into the cockpit with him somehow and took off on this long adventuresome flight that he had. And he gets all the way over to this prearranged field where postal employees were waiting on him. He's at 500 feet, which was quite a feat for a Blériot back in those days, but he especially to climb that high in that length of in that distance. But anyhow, he gets up to 500 feet, he holds the bag out over the side and drops it. Well, it drops, and when it hits the ground, it just bursts wide open. And when it burst wide open, there were about 2,000 letters and postcards that were in that sack that were distributed all over the field. So the postal employees, of course, had to pick all this up and try to get it on to the destination. That was the first official airmail flight. Now, come with me 7 years later to 1918, for the first scheduled airmail flight. A lot of difference here. This particular flight was flown by Army pilots. They selected Army pilots initially to do the first airmail flights. Now, this was a big deal back then, and they were really promoting airmail. And President Woodrow Wilson was on hand to witness the very first flight that particular day, which happened back in May of 1918. The flight was staged to go between Washington, D.C. to New York with a stop in Philadelphia. And also at the other end of the line was a gentleman named Lieutenant Webb, who was to fly from New York City to Philly and then on to Washington, D.C. And they were going to take off almost simultaneously as closely as they could possibly do that. So as I mentioned, President Wilson is on hand for this occasion in Washington. And a young Lieutenant Boyle, had been selected to fly the flight from Washington to Philadelphia. And most of these pilots back then, the Army pilots, had very, very little experience, as you might imagine. And particularly the ones that they had selected, most of them had just gotten out of school. And when they finished school, if they had 60 hours, they had a lot of flying time. So Lieutenant Boyle was selected largely because his father happened to be a federal judge in Washington, D.C., so he had a little bit of influence. So Lieutenant Boyle received a briefing from his commanding officer just prior to the flight, and he gets on board this Jenny. They had Curtis Jennies at that particular time that they were using that had been specially modified by Glenn Curtis to carry mail in the forward cockpit. So Lieutenant Boyle climbs in the airplane. They put the airmail sack in the front cockpit. Everything's looking great. All the dignitaries are watching this whole operation. Calls the mechanic out. has him prop the engine to get it started. So he props, and he props, and he props, and he props, and the engine won't start. So finally it dawns on someone that they forgot to refuel the airplanes when they brought them in. So the airplane had no fuel in it at all. So they could prop it all night long, and it, or all day long, and it wasn't going to start. So finally they drained fuel from one of the other airplanes on the field, filled up this particular Jenny. In the meantime, President Wilson was overheard saying that he had about had enough of this and that they were losing some valuable time here. So now they're all in a hurry. So they start hurrying through this whole process. They finally get the fuel in the airplane. They start the engine, and off goes Lieutenant Boyle, an excited Lieutenant Boyle, as you might imagine, with all these people who are watching. So Lieutenant Boyle takes off, and he had been instructed on how to fly the airplane. Now, understand that most of these airmail pilots back then had never gone on a cross-country flight. All their flying had been local. So he was told by his commander, briefed by him prior to the flight, to follow a railroad track and keep the Chesapeake Bay off to his right. So he takes off. Everything looks good. He finds the railroad track, but he went the wrong direction. So instead of turning northbound or northeastbound to head toward Philly, he turns to the south. And he flies and he flies and he's flying the railroad track and he sees absolutely nothing that he recognizes. Finally, he starts to get low on fuel. So he lands in a field, realizes he's totally lost, doesn't have a clue where he is. And he grabs the mail bag, takes it to the nearest train station to try to get it on board the train so that they can deliver it. So that started the first flight. However, there was a successful part of this. The Lieutenant Webb, who had taken off in New York to fly to Philly, actually made that flight. And not only did he make that flight, but he made the next flight from Philly on to Washington, D.C. So that completed the first scheduled airmail flight. Quite an event, to say the least, for 1918. We have a picture of Major Fleet here, who is briefing Lieutenant Boyle. And obviously the briefing didn't do any good whatsoever. So, but nonetheless, he had the briefing. So quite an interesting first airmail flight, I would say. We have a slide with some statistics on it here regarding airmail flights. And actually, the Army flew the airmail flights for a period of only about 3 months before the post office took over. But during that period of time, as you can see from the slide, they had 271 flights, and they had a really good record, a remarkable record, if you stop and think about flying the airplanes in 1918, just 15 years after the Wright brothers had first flown. So in August of 1918, the post office took over operation of all of the airmail flights.